This next report examines one of the decisions that United States officials made after the fall of Baghdad. Military commanders and defense officials now acknowledge that some of Iraq's problems stem from mistakes made in that time. Reconstruction started slowly, and so did efforts to provide security. It was in those chaotic months that the U.S. government imported a group of South African mercenaries. Their job was to work as bodyguards and police trainers. NPR's Tom Gjelten reports on what's known now about that hastily considered decision.
The man assigned to administer Iraq in the immediate aftermath of the invasion was a retired Army lieutenant general by the name of Jay Garner. His responsibilities were huge, and yet Garner and his team had to scrounge for needed supplies and personnel. When U.S. commanders said they couldn't spare any troops to provide security for Garner, his aides had to hire a private firm. Among the men they found were two South Africans nicknamed Lion and Loki. Garner came to appreciate their bodyguard services.
Lion was the leader of that group, but Loki was kind of his right-hand man. And they were the two best personal security guys I ever worked with in my life. And I'd worked with a lot of personal security guys.
Lion and Loki and their colleagues were not men to be messed with. Most were veterans of the South African Special Air Service, or SAS, an elite military commando unit that has been downsized in the last few years. Deborah Avant of George Washington University says former South African SAS members have been privately employed in many war zones.
South Africa became known as a place where you could get very expert people who could handle pretty rough environments effectively. And I think that that's the reputation still holds.
Jay Garner's work in Iraq ended when he was replaced in May 2003 by a new civilian administrator, Paul Bremer, and a new police trainer, Bernard Carrick, the former New York police commissioner. The South Africans suddenly found themselves out of work. But Carrick would need bodyguards of his own, plus he needed help with his police training operation. Jay Garner suggested he look to Lion and Loki.
I went to Bernie Carrick and said, Bernie, you ought to take these guys. We're having a problem getting the police trained in Sadr City because it's Shiite there in Baghdad. And I said, these guys would be perfect at training the police force. So I made an arrangement for them to stay there and come over to the organization we had working inside the Ministry of Interior to be trainers of the police.
For the purpose of doing business with the U.S. government, the South Africans organized under the name Meteoric Tactical Solutions. In the private military world, companies often appear and disappear from week to week, depending on opportunities. In June, Meteoric was awarded a $600,000 U.S. government contract. It was the first of two U.S. government contracts totaling over $1 million the South Africans received that summer for bodyguard and police training services. Under the terms of the contract, the Meteoric employees were to be vetted by the State Department and qualify for secret clearances. But Meteoric's work was never completed. In their eagerness to employ bodyguards and trainers, Garner, Carrick, and their colleagues did not think to check the legality of the South Africans' work in Iraq. As it turned out, the South African government had prohibited former soldiers from hiring themselves out without prior authorization. The government had been embarrassed by an explosion of South African mercenary activity in the 1990s. Peter Singer of the Brookings Institution, an expert on private military contractors, says Meteoric was actually breaking South African law by signing a contract with the U.S. government.
It's very unlikely that the folks who were hiring this company in Iraq knew about the South African regulations that made it illegal for them to hire them. They simply didn't know it. And to be honest, you know, when you have these new companies, how do you figure out that Company A is reputable versus Company B when neither one of them has a really strong operating history?
The Meteoric contract triggered an inquiry into such issues as whether the South Africans' military history had been adequately reviewed and whether proper procedures were followed in the awarding of the contract. But according to several sources, the questions never evolved into an official investigation. Bernard Carrick left Iraq after only 3 months on the job. The South Africans, now in trouble with their own government, were again left unemployed. But the story does not end there. In March 2004, Lorenz Horn, the bodyguard Jay Garner knew as Loki, was arrested in Zimbabwe and charged with involvement in a plot to overthrow the government of Equatorial Guinea. The coup attempt was allegedly a private venture to be carried out by former South African and British soldiers. The news of Horn's arrest in Zimbabwe soon reached Jay Garner at his retirement home in Florida.
Did it surprise me? No, because the guys are in that kind of work. They're in that kind of line of work. I mean, they're tough guys.
There's no evidence U.S. laws were broken with the hiring of the South African commandos. but the General Accounting Office is reviewing the general use of private security firms in Iraq. The investigation is being done at the request of five Democratic senators who said they were concerned that the military contractors are largely unregulated. Deborah Avant, who has written widely on private military contractors, says the story of meteoric tactical solutions should be examined by U.S. officials who might be considering the use of such firms in the future.
When these people were arrested, it really demonstrated the degree to which the private security industry is not completely separate from what we used to think of as old-day mercenaries, and that there are many connections. And, you know, it's not clear whether the people that were arrested in Zimbabwe were sort of acting as a company or whether they were sort of acting as individuals. But it gives more credence to those who argue that these people will do anything for money.
Lawrence Horn was ultimately released by the authorities in Zimbabwe, though he was subsequently convicted in South Africa of having violated the anti-mercenary laws. Efforts over several weeks to reach him or his company were unsuccessful. Former Iraq Administrator Paul Bremer did not respond to an interview request for this story. For his part, retired General Jay Garner says anyone concerned about the propriety of the U.S. government using South African mercenaries as police trainers and bodyguards should remember how chaotic Iraq was in the first few weeks after the fall of Baghdad. To explain, he uses a football analogy, comparing himself and other U.S. officials to a quarterback who at the last minute is forced to improvise a play because of unforeseen circumstances.
It was a game of audibles. You know, every day you walked up the line of scrimmage there and you looked down and see what was across the line of scrimmage. You called a few audibles and changed it. But that's just the way that kind of thing goes.
Some of the calls made by U.S. officials in Iraq in that period have come back to haunt them. In a report last summer, the Coalition Provisional Authority's Inspector General said his office had found problems in the CPA's financial management, procurement practices, and operational controls, though he added that those problems were not surprising given the hazardous working conditions in Iraq in the early months of the occupation. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.